humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. If you're watching the video version of the intro, which not enough people are watching the video version of the intros yet, you got to see Sean's sort of spooky Halloween face there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Hello, Sean.
Hi. This would be Sean.
Yes, I threw off the whole usual handoff there. Just keeps things.
That's fair play. I mean, it keeps you on my toes, so that way I never say I'm Dan again in my life. I forget.
Other than when you just did right there. But you know. Anyways, I am Dan. This is Audio Face. This is episode 209. It's going to be a nice light episode for everyone. We have a single here, a single there, and really just one single here, just that single. We have a little smattering of news. Most importantly, what is Fetty Wap been up to? Fetty Wap released an album actually just last week. He was about to perform at a concert. I chose not to listen to that album because it's a busy fall, as we'll note by some of the releases we have this week. And I just chose to, you know, pick my battles. And Fetty Wap's new album was not one of those battles. But apparently the feds had something else in mind. More on that later. But we will be reviewing actually a re-release, Live Love ASAP by ASAP Rocky. We'll kind of be taking a look back at, like, okay, 10 years on, what does rap music look like? What's different? What feels dated in these album? What doesn't? I think it'll be an interesting sort of concept I've been wanting to do on Audio Face for a while. We've got I Don't Live Here Anymore by The War on Drugs. Sean's been looking forward to doing this for a while, and I know that's excited. That's why it's second in the rundown. I'm changing up things on Audio Face here because I'm doing our album like tease in reverse order, because we're going to begin with some good old fashioned
Christ. Oh, Christ.
Because Ed Sheeran stepped up to the plate.
And stepped up on the swing and miss plate.
And what is Audio Face if not a batting cage at 4x speed? So
it really is.
We're gonna get into what we could of that very shortly, but I didn't want to begin because this is like extreme musica. God, I am becoming Sean. Because this is extreme music fall here. There were a lot of releases, and there are continuing to be a lot of releases we just can't get to every single week. And one thing I wanted to shout out was Something for the Hotties, which is Megan Thee Stallion's drop that was released. It's about 45 minutes long, 21 songs. And so it'd definitely be like album length. And I could totally concede that being album length potentially. But this, like, even in the title, Something for the Hotties, is meant to say, like, hey, this isn't really like a successive album follow-up, let's say, to Good News.
No.
Anything. I think she's gonna be working on another proper release coming soon. These are just, again, like, as a lot of rappers have been doing lately, as a lot of artists in general have been doing lately, doing little drops here and there for their fans to enjoy some new music. And I listened to the whole thing, full of bangers. A lot of them are freestyles here or there. A lot of it's kind of just pumping up a lot of Meg Thee Stallion's producers.
Whatever the opening track is goes hard. It has like an 80s beat to it, and I thought it was really good. It's cool to hear, like, I like it when artists are doing this now more often, where they're thrown together, like, okay, hey, these might have not fit in certain albums or not, but these are ideas that I have, and they lay it out for fans and for other artists to then go off of and be like, oh, hey, I haven't had this idea before, and then you can run it through and try different stuff. I like that, and not overwhelming listeners with putting unfinished works or too much of long stuff they don't need into full LP releases, especially in rap and trap.
100%. There are many ways to release your music and get it out there, but you want to be thoughtful about how it comes out so your ideas don't get like washed out with any of the other muddledness and stuff. And like drops are a wonderful way to do that. And yeah, it's another thing that's testing the drop definition here of, okay, this is a long one, but it's still definitely a drop.
Still a drop. 100% drop.
On the converse side, Vince Staples, which was a very short, dense, but like had a lot to say album and packed that in really nicely. So we'll have to hash it out in the Audio Face Awards, whether we keep that thing or not, or whether we just like loosen the parameters. But I did want to shout out, of all the songs on there, I think Warning is good. It's not a freestyle, but it, I think, has a good mix of, okay, this is Meg Thee Stallion having fun with her producers, cooking up some old school style beats.
a motherfucking broke nigga warning. Every nigga bore me, rich nigga spoil me. I turn into a star every time he record me. Wet like the deep end, she is just a forfeit. He love him a stallion and ride like a horsey. This is some wet pussy, this is the best pussy. She say he hers, but my text say he ain't tookin'. Popping in his pot of shit, popping for these dollars trick. You don't wanna see this ass, you ain't gotta follow, bitch.
And I'm getting money. She's just, yeah, just as always, you know, energetic, playful, fun, like thoughtful with her lyrics. It's just great to see her doing this, and what to see what she's going to continue doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. New singles. We do them every single week. That was just the one single we're doing this week. But if you have single suggestions, send them to audioface@syndicate23.co, and we will give it a consideration for our listen. Singles rule applies, of course, but we want to check out the music that you've got coming up, absolutely, from the community, but also as we're looking through singles that we may have missed that, you know, just like broadly out there in the music world, send them to us. We want to listen to them and check them out. Check out our 2021 AF playlist. We are in November. The playlist is almost done. Think about that. That is weird. So the 2021 AF playlist, you can find that in the link of you'll find the link in the podcast description or the video description of this podcast. Check out the bonus episodes. You know about those. Follow Audioface Pod at Audioface Pod, at Audioface Pod on Twitter or Instagram. And make sure you're subscribed to us at youtube.com/Audioface Pod, where you can see all of our videos and get all of the updates for all the stuff Audioface is doing. Power Report just did a great episode that'll be dropping around the same time or shortly before or after this episode of Audioface, episode 35 of Power Report, with a member of the leadership team for Democratic Socialists of America's Los Angeles's like labor committees for Hollywood. And so that's a lot of words to say. I talked to someone who is really close to all these strike people, and we got to talk about a lot about what it really means to build labor movements. You don't just like get together with your coworkers one day, get upset, and then like go up strike. It's a lot of planning, it's a lot of effort and things like that.
Were it so easy?
Yeah. SpongeBob planted the seed in our heads with the strike episode, but it's a lot more complicated than that.
Krusty Krab is unfair. Mr. Krabs is in there.
Standing at the concession, plotting his oppression. Okay.
I wonder where the humble proletarian lies.
Yeah, you wonder why Zoomers are becoming so like communist. Over SpongeBob Malcolm X over there. Anyways, that's Power Report. Check that out at powerreport.world or at youtube.com/danfromtheinternet. And that episode of Power Report, along with this episode of Audioface and a lot of recent episodes on the Syndicate 23 Network, have been mastered by Peter at Dead Music Productions. You can find them at deadmusic666 on Insta. Those are the plugs. That was our singles. Let's get into the news of this week. And the top story is, you know, it's fun when we are on Audioface and we break out the New York Times keys. But Fetty Wap has been arrested on federal drug charges. And this happened right before he was supposed to perform at the Rolling Loud Festival. This time they were having, like, you know, Rolling Louds happened in a bunch of different places. Most notably happened in Miami, where DaBaby got, you know, reverse double canceled earlier this year. And I'm not going to relitigate that. Just go watch the other videos. I don't care. But yeah, Fetty Wap was about to perform at Citi Field in Long Island and was arrested by FBI agents before he could do his live show. Quoting from the New York Times right now, the artist, whose legal name is Willie Jr. Maxwell II, was arraigned at a federal court in Central Islip, New York. He and five co-defendants, including a former New Jersey corrections officer, were charged with one count of conspiring to distribute and possess controlled substances. What are those controlled substances? Officials said the defendants distributed more than 100 kilograms of cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, and crack across Long Island and New Jersey over a year-long period beginning in June 2019.
Yeah, man.
They're going to play the song Trap Queen in court, and it's going to be so rough. All the acoustics.
Play it for the jury.
All the acoustics are just going to be so off where it's like, I get high with my baby, I just want to say. You'll just see the like little like artist rendition of Fetty Wap will just be his head in his hands like this.
So does Fetty have to pay with his other eye now or what?
Oh man. Oh my god.
That's wild though. Like reading that, I go, man, that guy's really pushing bricks out here. It's crazy.
Yeah. So like this is gonna be a prolonged battle, of course, but literally he's known for his song Trap Queen. So it's just like one of those, hey rappers, just like, yo,
play it for the jury, man. Play it for the jury.
You gotta really toe that line or be very, very clean with what you're doing.
Yep.
this will be very interesting to watch, that's for sure. Let's see. The authorities said Friday they recovered $1.5 million in cash, numerous fentanyl pills, like I said, all the other drugs and things like that, and a rifle and ammunition, millimeter handguns, pistol, etc. over the course of the year-long investigation. So, the guns are just here, and the drugs are just, they're just around, and what do you mean, you know?
They're just plants and pieces of plastic and metal, you know?
No, it's for Ratu. that's continuity for the podcast. Anyways.
Yeah, it really is.
I need to... Usually before So You Don't Have To, is that it like this, like, a lot or much, I have to have a little bit of, like, a beverage of some kind, but, you know, this has been Halloween, so I really can't do that. But we listened to Equal Sign by Ed Sheeran, So You Don't Have To. Ed Sheeran,
best intro ever to an album.
Ed Sheeran before. For the children. So
14 songs, 48 minutes long. Don't listen to it.
Straight don't. Here's the top line thing. If you've heard an Ed Sheeran album before, if you've heard an Ed Sheeran song before, you've heard this album.
The thing with this is, my favorite thing, right, is Ed Sheeran says, "This is my favorite album I've ever made." I go, "Well, that's rough, buddy." That is real rough skis, buddy.
I didn't know he said that. You don't want to come out of the gates with that now.
Yeah, I think he posted it on his IG or something. I remember seeing it through probably on the Audio Face account. I saw that and I go, oh my God. He did not just put that. And then Vanessa told me the same thing. She's like, oh yeah, he said this is his best album. And she goes, please don't tell me. She goes, please don't tell me it's bad. I'm like, kick some trash cans. It's rough. It goes, okay, the opening song isn't horrible. It starts off like a normal kind of alt rock song, kind of early Ed Sheeran sound. I was like, okay, but it's interesting because his singles are ass, so let's see what happens. And then right after Tides, you have Ass Number One, which is Shivers. I want to feel like my soul's on fire. I want to stay up all day and all night. Yeah, you got me singing like, ooh, I love it when you do it like that. And when you're close up, give me the shivers. Oh, baby, you want to dance till the sunlight cracks. And when they say the party's over, then we'll bring it right back. And we'll say, ooh, I love it when you do it like that. And when you're close up, give me the shivers.
Sean's favorite song.
One of the worst songs I've had to do on this podcast. This is up there with the Fall Out Boy song where it took me not 0.3 seconds of, I'm like, I can't listen to this track. Trap, snare, snap, clap all at the same time. I go, I didn't know you could do that together and make it sound that bad. I didn't know it sounded that bad when you implemented it all together. And it's horrible.
Yeah, it's powerfully bad. I guess Ed Sheeran just one of those like super pop stars in the top like 10 or so maybe that has that appeal, because like Shivers is one of the top streaming songs on Spotify. Bad Habits, which is the lead single, was one of the top streaming songs on Spotify. We reviewed that as a lead single and we were like, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, at least with Bad Habits, it's like it's just an overly generic pop song. Shivers is a legitimately bad song. Like, no, like, you didn't, do not pass go, do not collect $200. You know, your third grade teacher wouldn't even give you a star of, like, approval of, like, you tried. You don't even get a you tried sticker. This the teacher walks by and goes, he's not making it out third grade. And you just walk by.
Did your, did you ever have one of those, like, elementary school teachers who, like, kept a green, yellow, and a red card for every student in the classroom? Yeah. First of all, future arbitrary scale. Second of all.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Second of all, that was just very reminiscent of that. One thing, if we go to song 5, Overpass Graffiti, I was like, wow, did Ed Sheeran do a Coldplay cover? Which is one of the most, like, god-awful sentences I've ever said in this podcast. Leave us tainted. No, I should walk away, but I just can't place us or even erase us. The car stopped, the engine stalled, both of us got caught out in the storm. Alone.
I mean, I wanted to make the Coldplay comparison of an artist who started out pretty well, like Ed Sheeran, right? Started out with, what is it, Plus, his first album in 2011. And he, you know, it's like Tame Impala, where he makes everything he did. He would mix it, and he would do it live on stage, too. He would mix everything all completely himself. He would, you know, loop guitars, do all that, which is very difficult to do. And I thought, I never was super into his music, but I appreciated, like, him as a musician, because I know how difficult it is to do all of that. And I thought the music was fine, nothing like too special, but he blew up and I was like, oh, that's okay. But then when Divide came out in 2017, that's when he made the Coldplay pivot of the cash cow of you lose becoming a musician and you start to become a celebrity. And then there's that fine line between being a celebrity and being a musician. And a lot of these pop artists cross that line into the celebrity hold. So then they lose their music.
And I think that's, I was going to say, like, just to, like, jump off of that point, one major thing to add that I just feel like I'm able to kind of illustrate right now is that when you are a pop artist and you get fame for being a pop artist, a lot of that almost becomes like a security blanket in one way, but it truly restricts your ability to branch out and try different things, because when you do that, even if, like, you know, critics, you know, acclaim it and think this is a really good, like, nice step and it's bold for doing something different and people love it, people are ultimately going to not like it because it's different than, you know, the stuff that made you popular. That's just the nature of pop music. People are going to have a bunch of different opinions about it unless it's the same thing. And so you can look at that and go, I don't want to be criticized, or, like, I'll be criticized for being popular. I don't care because people like me. And that seems to be kind of like an Ed Sheeran Coldplay kind of thing. And exactly. There's a lot of, yep. I will say there's a lot of artists who get, like, unfair criticism for, like, this kind of thing of blowing up and being large. But I think to be able to balance that and take that with actually branching out somewhere with the music is something that should be tried. This sounds way too much like, you know, maybe a slightly dancier, which everyone's doing, just a more dancey version of everything now, because that's pop music. It's just become more like 80s, 70s disco electronic synth dance. But maybe this is a slightly dancier version of Division Symbol, or slightly dancier version of Time Symbol, or et cetera, right? Like, Ed Sheeran's been at this for almost a decade now.
Yeah.
So, in a decade's work, like, you see a lot of artists where sometimes they change for the better or for the worse, but they change. Yeah. I don't see that from Ed Sheeran at all. From this,
there's the pivot on Divide, where that's where it really pivots to me from the Coldplay sellout aspect of one musician becomes so popular that they lose themselves and become a celebrity, and then they lose their art form. They lose what made them become a musician, I should say. And you see it a lot, and it's kind of tragic in a way for our aspect of it. But honestly, going into the music, it's nothing special. It's overly produced, very generic. You don't really have to deal with listening to it. Listen to the first 3-4 tracks and you know what the rest of the album is going to sound like. It's nothing too special. There's a lot more good music, which we'll review in a little bit, that is out there and being made, that you can, you know, save your time for and make more of an effort to that, to things that should be getting out more to the masses.
It's true, and I can use this as an example. If you do listen to the whole Ed Sheeran album, you will feel fatigued. You will feel tired because you are just, like, listening to stuff that's just, like, drivel. It's not really, like, it's just kind of blurring together. And that will help you to sympathize with the feeling it can be like sometimes as, like, music critics on Audio Face especially, when you get an artist like that who is just repeatedly pumping out something that's just too similar. Like that, I'm constantly looking for ways to go like, okay, even though this seems simple to us, Sean, like this is an audience thing. So like, okay, how can the audience understand what it feels like to be in our shoes? Put yourself through Ed Sheeran's album, like all the way through, and you will be exactly where we're at. Like, I guarantee it. A lot of times music criticism is like, you know, it's subjective. You could fall on either side 100%. Of it, but it's so uninspired. I just like press play and we'll talk about it. I just guarantee it. Yep. Comment exactly. Below if you disagree, honestly. Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every single week on Audio Face because what we said in the review is what we said in the review. If we put a number to it, then I mean that would trigger a lot of engagement in the comment section. But let's also talk about Facebook and alternative names for Facebook. Facebook this week changed their name, or this past week changed their brand company name to Meta. Because Mark Zuckerberg's lost in the sauce as always. I'm not even going to try to justify their corporate reasoning. Something, something, metaverse, Oculus, goggles. To quote several women in my life, Mark Zuckerberg should go back to the women rating website and just leave everyone else alone. Just go back to rating chicks, dude.
Just like... yeah, right? Go back to rating chicks.
It's from humble beginnings. No. Okay. This is if they named the company Pied Piper. Like they were like, we know this is Silicon Valley. We know it's a reference to a large evil company and all that stuff. That being said, we're going to do it anyways.
I like it. I was going to use a Pied Piper reference or a Hooli reference from Silicon Valley as well. Because, you know, it's one of those, we need to make the most generic, you know, tech name thing ever. And make the app, like the app symbol, like the most generic thing ever. Like, we got to make it sound stupid, but catchy. On the inside, it's killing people.
I'm going to put into the rundown a name generator for startups. And I think we may have actually used this for an arbitrary scale recently. But this will be fun to use for this, I think, as well. It'll just be
I have never used this before, but we're about to go down.
Well, yeah, because you're a sane person.
Because, yeah, I'm a sane person. I'm also extremely offline, or I try to be offline as much as possible.
It's a great balance of this podcast.
Yeah, it really is.
And so, yeah, you can go ahead and play with that. You just enter in some keywords. But actually, don't play with that too much, because I was hoping you could take the wheel a little bit.
I'll take the wheel on this. Sean got this. So speaking of pop artists, but this is a pop artist who doesn't give two rat shits about whatever anybody thinks about her because she does whatever the fuck she wants and she's a goddess. Pause. Bjork, for those of you who say it that way. She's making a Living Room Club album because she doesn't give two fucks about what she makes and she makes good music for 40 years.
So we can tell that Sean's a fan. But yes. this is her words, like, for people who are making clubs at home in their living room restricted to their Christmas bubble.
I like it. It'll be interesting to see, because this is a follow-up to Utopia, which we reviewed in the infamous car episode. Never forget. Driving through Malibu, us trying to get home in LA traffic, and that was fun. But that was in 2017, so it's been a while since she's released albums. And she actually usually releases albums a little bit closer together, so it'll be interesting to see, like, the evolution of that. I mean, granted, she did do a big tour for Utopia. I think a live album, but she does a lot of live albums and stuff. But it'd be cool to see how it sounds. I mean, we've had a lot of quarantine albums and pandemic albums and stuff, so this would be one of them, the giant list. We might need to make that award for this year. COVID album of the year.
Yeah, there have been so many of them, but like I think it would be hard to do that because there have been some, not to be too off topic, but like not to be talked about the Bjork stuff, but like I think there have been some albums that were intentional quarantine albums and some albums that were unintentional quarantine albums, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, but I'm interested in this concept. I think, like, yeah, people's lives have changed a lot. They're doing a lot more things like at home in smaller settings. I mean, Halloween around here seems like it's just one house party after another. Not just my life, just like what's going on around me. But it's for a lot of people, it's very much just like, yeah, smaller, intimate kinds of things. And, you know, we have, and it's funny, I have like a playlist that's like bedroom house that I've been like making for myself. That's sort of this like, it's taking the cues of bedroom pop and indie, where you're taking like, you know, loud rock music or loud pop music, but kind of muffling the noise a little bit, scaling it down a little bit. So it almost feels like it's produced in a bedroom, that sort of sense, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. It's a sound that's really taken indie by storm lately. And yes. I'm very interested to see Bjork's take of on it. In an electronic dance sense. I think even without Bjork, it's a really cool concept, but I like to see how she executes it.
Yeah. She says, quote, I'll give a little quote before we end this, I think. But in this new album, there's a lot of chill in the first half of the song and a lot of calm in the second half. But when there's 1 minute left, the song turns into a club. So it almost, when I read that a few days ago, made me think of the song on Humans where it starts with the telephone. I cannot think of the song title.
Out of Body.
Out of Body, yeah, because you know the last minute of Out of Body turns into like straight up like dance. So it'll be interesting to see how it is. And that's one of my favorite tracks on Humans too. But it sounds like it may come out sometime next year. So we'll keep you posted on that and we'll definitely review it because that's what we do on this podcast is we review music. And speaking of reviewing music, we have our second album.
I was going to say one last thing, actually.
Oh, you want one last thing? Okay.
Just on release dates, because she said it's like restricted to their Christmas bubble, which could be like a translation thing perhaps, because maybe this album comes out in December. That would kind of match up with Utopia, if I remember correctly. But it could also be possible we see this more in 2022. So a little bit of re-report you decide on that.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard things of late this year, and then I've heard stuff of even like early next year to spring next year, depending when it does. Because she's touring right now as well, so.
Yeah, she's touring. She'll likely want some sort of like break from that, as anyone would.
So, as any sane person would.
Yeah, unless you're Cardi B and you're like, oh, world tour while pregnant, let's go. I got it. It'll be really interesting to see what comes out from Bjork's living room club album. That'll be interesting. Now, because I know you've been really, I didn't intentionally plan it this way, Sean, but we did go straight into like a little Sean block right here. But yeah. I know you're excited to get into it, so. Go ahead and start off because I don't have it up right now.
Yeah, so we have I Don't Live Here Anymore by The War on Drugs. 10 songs, 52 minutes long. Last album they released was in, I'd like to say, 2017. But we didn't, there's a deeper understanding. That was our first year of the podcast, and it was one of the things that we weren't actually able to talk about and review proper. But I did bring it up as like a music recommendations and then also in a court packing episodes because it won my rock album of the year that year because it's an incredible album. But anyway, so it's been a while since they released any music. They did the one single that we reviewed, which one was it? I think Living Proof maybe was that. And I actually didn't really necessarily like that song going into it, but now in the context of the album, it makes more sense. But anyways, so going to the album, starts off with Living Proof, which I think now in the how it sets up the album, it now makes sense as a track. I don't necessarily like it too much as a track on its own, but then within the album, it's not too bad. So starts it off slow. You can kind of get a sense of how it's the album's going to sound. It's not going to be as synth heavy as the previous album, as compared to A Deeper Understanding. Be more of a kind of a rock fuel. And you'll get that throughout the album. But then it picks right up with the second song on Harmonia's Dream. And this is a really like a classic The War on Drugs track. Like six and a half minutes long, and it's just a song that like slowly builds up and crescendos twice, and just has like beautiful stuff in the middle. Like vocals are fantastic. You got piano in the background, everything you love. And this is where I got in this album, and I just got a big ass smile on my face when I heard it. I go, yep. Now I see why, because I did a good damn, and I didn't listen to as hard as it was, because on Sirius XMU and on fucking MBE, I would, when they would play the War on Drugs singles, I literally would turn the station because I'm like, I want it fresh. I want it as fresh as possible. And boy, am I glad I did.
It's a good feeling to get the album as a complete work, honestly. And I enjoyed listening to it as a complete work. I've only gotten to my usual union mandated two listens for, but I'm definitely going to be listening to more. But I do like how there's, especially in the kind of early middle part of the album, a good string of songs that just like each one stands on its own very well. And it can just like, they stand on their own very well, but they continue the album through a really nice track. I think Change is really good, but I Don't Want to Wait really starts this track.
I don't want to break everything. Let me offer my only hope. Like a snowflake dancing down an empty road.
Yeah, the three to me of I Don't Want to Wait, Victim, and I Don't Live Here Anymore are incredible. And for me, A Deeper Understanding, which came out a few years ago, I really liked the end of the album. There was three songs in Chains Can Live and You Don't Have to Go that I really, really enjoyed. And for this, it was these middle tracks that I enjoyed a ton. And honestly, the way they made this record, I like it even so far. I've listened to it maybe about four times. I like it even more than A Deeper Understanding, which I thought I wasn't going to do, especially with the first single that we reviewed. I was honestly worried. I go, oh, crap. And I think I said that too on the podcast, but I'm like, I'll wait and do my final judgment until the album review. Because for me this year, so far, because we've had a lot of good albums, but we've also had a lot of albums that were good, but missed in the way that they put the tracks in order, that the way they mixed it and everything. I think to me, this is the best complete work I've heard so far this year. The way the songs transition, everything has a completely right space. Everything transitions into the next track. You're never left wanting more. You're never left wanting less, because these songs are long too, especially those three in that middle. There's 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 5.5 minutes. So they're not short by any means, but it doesn't feel like it drags on at all. At least for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think, in 2021, seeing like even 3.5 minute songs feels wild, even though that used to be kind of just like the radio single standard.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're getting like true and true rock songs here, where like 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes is like the that's the lower threshold. But what you're getting through there is you're not getting like you're getting 10 tracks, like just 10 rock songs here. And they all fairly deliver. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say the song that blew me out of the water is the title track, I Don't Live Here Anymore, featuring Lucius. Absolutely incredible rock. I can stop. I need some time. I need control. I need to love. I wanna find out everything I need to know. I'm gonna say everything that there is to say. Although you've taken everything I need away, I'm gonna make it to the place I need to go. We're all just walking through this dark. For the Rock is Dead conversation, which we have, you know, bi-yearly at this point, this is, to me, the future of certain styles of rock. Like, this is a combination of, like, almost like classic rock sounds to modern rock to alt rock, like, all combined into something that sounds fresh, it sounds new, but it still pays homage to everything that came. But you can do it. So, it's one of my favorite songs.
I'm very, very, I'm overall very pleased with it. I think near the end, it all transitions very well through the end, but because song six is really kind of like crescendo point, mm-hmm. I think the plane lands, so to speak, very nicely. No like bumps or anything like that. Yeah. But it's almost like a very, very calm landing. Like the baby's still completely asleep. Like there's nothing. I feel like there is some other way around like maybe song eight or song nine that you could have had like a really nice near finisher, and then you have Occasional Rain, which is a nice like ending track. But it could have kind of their continuation. We've listened to a lot of albums that are like really, really great but miss a couple of those marks. I think this is a really, really great album. This might just be nitpicking territory for me, but I think it could have been really, really awesome, like borderline perfect, if like Rings Around My Father's Eyes, which isn't a bad track, were something that was like a little bit more like one of the tracks in the early on part, so that you had a more complete work, kind of showcasing what they can all do. Because you get a lot of rock in the earlier part, then you get some synth blending in, and that kind of just kind of works together in this seamless way. But yeah, the tone and tempo just continues to be sort of really mellow here, and I'm glad they went with it and worked with it. But I do have this bias towards faster songs throughout, keeping that sort of energy not constant, but having it throughout the song, throughout the album, and not just having it the album be top heavy or bottom heavy.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I mean, I think that might be the limits of the way they make their tracks per se, because the War on Drugs don't really make anything super fast paced, but they know how to make a slow song not boring, I guess. But overall, I think it's definitely on my shortlist of rock albums of the year. This is incredible. Very, very pleasantly surprised with how the record went. Because honestly, I was worried, and I was going into this, I go, okay, let's see what happens. I listened this week, I was listening to them a lot. I was listening to A Deeper Understanding a lot. I was listening to Lost in the Dream a lot as well. One of my favorite tracks, the first track on that, Under the Pressure, I was listening to it a lot just to get hyped and kind of see their evolution as a band. And you can really, there's definitely different ways they produce songs, you know, 7-8 years ago to the way they do it today. So very good overall.
Yeah, we love to see improvement. Arbitrary scale this week, because we do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face. Alternative names for Facebook. I've got a whole list here, so this should be fun. I'm going to call this Gripe with two I's. Right,
I can feel it in it. This is amusing.io.
Amusing.io.
Because why not?
Amusing.io. It's whatever. tech companies are so dumb, but Meta is an even dumber story.
This business name generator is my favorite thing in the world now. This is hilarious.
Yeah, when we do the Syndicate 23 rebrand, that'll be an excellent starting point for the mood board. But moving on, this is a really interesting story here. So a group of KISS roadies are blaming, there's a death of a guitar tech in KISS. Man. He was a 53-year-old Francis Stuber. Stuber? Sorry for butchering pronunciations.
Stuber.
Stuber, most likely. He's the longtime guitar tech of KISS, and he died from COVID-19 just days after being quarantined in a Detroit hotel room where KISS were on the road, or while KISS were on the road. Numerous crew members were speaking in anonymity to Rolling Stone, and they spoke about basically lax COVID protocols. They said that crew members may have faked vaccination cards. Just overall sort of lackluster view of like putting aside, like not taking seriously measures and precautions meant to make sure that people don't inadvertently spread the virus to people who would be negatively adversely affected by it.
It's horrible. That sucks. things that can be prevented that aren't prevented, or the like, something that's like, it's pretty infuriating really to read up on it, and then somebody like to put necessarily put somebody's life at risk like that is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
And it's, and then again, it shows you still the severity of stuff. Like you obviously you can now be a little bit more lax with stuff, especially if you're vaccinated, but you, especially with musicians and stuff, like you still have to take precautions. There's a lot, because you're a lot of, around a lot of people and whatnot. I think people, either some musicians or groups, won't take it seriously enough, or they'll start to get lax and get too relaxed, but things like this can happen, and it's crazy.
Yeah, to that point, one of the roadies said, every day during the shows, we weren't tested, and there's so many unknowns. And I was kind of paraphrasing, because they're moving from city to city. And so, like, just like you were saying, Sean, that kind of stuck out to me, because you could be a conduit for the spread of the virus, because you're a touring band moving from city to city, interacting with a bunch of fans in a small space. Like, we get it. Like, it's, there's a lot of in music and musicians that's like rebelling against the system and norms and things like that. But there's, in this whole case, there's matters and realities of biological science and the things that need to be done. So yeah, apparently there's a lack of testing. People were not wearing masks backstage, or they were improperly wearing them. And yeah, that's just all super important. Also, the tour was supposed to have a designated COVID compliance officer, which is like every entertainment, like sometimes it's like a BS role, but like still BS or not, like everything in the entertainment industry now has one of these like on set somewhere to kind of like, they're the ones supposed to be accountable to like, okay, has everyone on set had a negative COVID result that's recent, or have they had proof of vaccination submitted to me before they're on set, things like that. And you're having cases like, hey, Ice Cube walked off set recently for some reason, for like not getting vaccinated, because he didn't want to get vaccinated. You're having cases like that. But as to say, they didn't even have one, apparently. The position was next a day before the tour was supposed to even happen, which then it just fell to the production staff, and like the production staff just have other things to do. It's just watch Power Report if you want to talk about the overworked over production staff and stuff like that. But it's truly like, it's unfortunate, because to draw another like Power Report parallel, there was that death of the camera woman. That was like basically killed by a loaded gun that Alec Baldwin was shooting, but he was told it was unloaded. There's like a blame game going on between like people there, and kind of like what my guest said, that conversation is not as interesting as the fact that these things happen not because one person is at fault. It's because multiple things went wrong down a series of chains that just like led to this result. And you have to look at, why are people being worked to their very edge? Why are people being put to that point where they're being put to their very edge, where corners are getting cut? And you get these sort of negative results. And of course, these negative results like directly involve death, unfortunately. So, not the best thing there. Moving on, we go to a little bit of throwback here. I want to explore doing some more like older albums from time to time, finding opportunities to do that. And here's a great one right now. So we have Live, Love. ASAP by ASAP Rocky, 15 songs, 49 minutes long. And this was originally released in like 2011, essentially, as like one of his first like album proper outfits. And it was just a very interesting time in rap music back then, because you would have almost considered ASAP Rocky as not quite underground, but definitely not mainstream. Like right now he sort of has like an almost household name in the music industry. Lest we forget the whole affair where he was stuck in a European country, I want to say Sweden, and Donald Trump was negotiating his release.
Never forget.
We'll have you back ASAP. Great. What's that show in Canada that's like just Canada Moments or whatever?
Oh yeah,
it's like Canadian heritage, like heritage moments, things like that. Yeah, yeah, it's like one of those, it'll be like one of those like audio face moments. It's just Trump and ASAP Rocky, that whole experience. It's just a great time.
Beautiful.
But yeah, listening to this, it's a great walk down memory lane, but it's also an interesting exercise in seeing, okay, these are some things that sort of had some legs in rap music and trap music, and here are some things that are like, okay, this feels very dated and old, and almost like 90s boom bap level. Yeah, what'd you think with this sort of exercise?
It was interesting to go back and listen to the original album, 2011. And some of it I remember, because I didn't really listen to ASAP that much, but like the song Skewboy Q and stuff, like I remember listening to some of those tracks. But it was interesting to see like the differences on some of the tracks than to what it is now, and to see what now hearing it, if it sounds fresh or not. Like example, you have Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill. To me, that album still sounds relatively fresh for what it is. And that one came out in 2012. But there are other albums, other rap albums that you're listening to from the early 2010s, or even not just necessarily rap and trap, but alt rock, indie. There's a bunch of different records where you listen to it and it sounds extremely dated for what it is. But then there'll be others that are the opposite, and they, you know, pass the true test of time. So, yeah. But overall, I felt like there was some things in here I go, wow, I forgot about that. And there's other tracks in here where I go, yeah, you could definitely hear that it's dated, or that you can hear, oh, wow, it's the beginnings of some of the trap sounds you hear today, or beginnings of certain things that you hear today too. So, it's really cool. I thought it was actually a good idea to do this, because I was interested to hear what you thought too. Like the example, Brand New Guy of Skewboy Q, which is five songs into it.
Brand new shirt to the brand new drawers. Brand new socks to the brand new Glock. Uh-huh. This motherfucker hold 15. Slap that hoe in, tell the clip get lost. Bitch, I'm a boss. Pulled up clean, don't you hear the exhaust?
I actually really like that track, but it was interesting in a way because it like was super slowed down in the beginning, and that way it popped up. I was like, well, it sounds dated in a way, but it's still something that I like.
Yeah, like Peso earlier in that was like a good example of like very dated, very classic ASAP Rocky, but like very dated. And I love listening to this like track, like in the mix of constantly listening to new music. Truly, it's like nice, like variety, even if it is dated, but dated nonetheless. Like Brand New Guy with lyrics like Teach You How to Jerk. It's just like literally just like a whiplash of like how old these songs and these tracks and references are, which is like speaks to a lot of our criticisms when we're talking about songs that are, you know, or albums that are really emphasizing the pandemic, quarantine, lockdown, all these different things.
They're going to be in a bubble. Like, we're going to be in a super time capsule. Think of it a decade from now, right? You're going to look on that, be like, wow, where were you when this was happening? Like, I remember what I felt when this album was released or whatnot. So there's going to be a lot of stuff where you can feel that. I mean, you even get that with some of the albums that came out even just a couple of years ago. The way where some music, I think rap, trap, pop, you could get this a lot where a lot of those albums will be made for a specific time, and then others will be made to kind of last through time. And you can hear that and when you go back onto it. And on this album, you can definitely get to that too.
Yeah, and I think there's art to the idea that something is a good time capsule, like it's a good example.
Oh yeah, 100%. A Brief Inquiry from the 1975, I think, is a great time capsule of 2018, that like transition period of the late 2010s, right before the new decade, but it still can hold up too.
Definitely. There's aspects of this that don't quite hold up as much. But then you get little moments here or there that are kind of oddly forward thinking, like Acid Drip. It's a 2 minute song long here, song long in the like dead like middle of the album. Holding. Hold your purse, don't trust him cause his teeth is golden. Dice rolling, reefer blowing in the streets he's smoking. Blowing weed while police patrolling. Acid strips, purple drink, you can have a sip.
have a fix of its acid drip.
He ain't gonna die. Kiss on the lips. Eye for an eye. Drip for a drip.
That might have been an afterthought back in the, you know, 2011 when it was released, but now, like, a lot of, you know, indie rap rappers that are coming up are doing that kind of format, like a 2 minute long song, kind of slowed down, morph vocals, and kind of just like getting
like Earl Sweatshirt and a couple other guys. It's exactly what I thought too when I listened to it.
Yeah, and so like those are really nice moments of like, wow, this would fit in with today's music very, very well. And it's truly impressive. It's again this really just kind of is an exercise in showing like, here's an example of an old album and where it stood the test of time truly and where it fell short. But ultimately I think like there's a constant Twitter discourse that happens over how long does it take for an album to be a classic, right? I think that's a fun question. I was bobbling around in my head, and I'd say like ballpark 2 or 3 years before you can even consider like the best album a classic, because it needs to do a lot of the things we're talking
about.
Needs to marinate, needs to stand the test of time, needs to be able to, in a lot of different iterations and seasons and forms, like really hold up. And I think that for a certain person, for a certain rap head, Live Love ASAP holds up. But, you know, it never really had that further, you know, mainstream appeal that, like, broadened out that reach. You go on to his later discography, right? Like, my personal favorite, Testing. But you have At Long Last ASAP as well. And I think there you're starting to get into the songs that are a lot more like, okay, people really, really know ASAP Rocky as he's really blowing up. And he's really, really memorable from all of this stuff. I think in both of those albums, especially. But yeah, this is an early one. I think this is just a really nice exercise in, this is an artist as they were coming up, as they were starting. Look at this. There's little bits of genius here. There's a little bit of roughness around the edges. But just take this work as it is. And it's nice these things are kind of coming out to streaming services. I'm definitely really interested in doing more reviews.
I mean,
that are like
you're gonna get this next week with Radiohead with Kid Amnesia. You're gonna get a perfect time capsule album of tracks that they never released necessarily, but were all recorded in 99 to 2000 to 2001 at the latest. So stuff that came out 2 decades ago, even more than that. What does that sound for a band that has done it for, you know, 30 years? How does that hold up to today? So you get that again, which I like doing this because it's really cool to have that and have that conversation, because I don't think a lot of people talk about that. Because both of us, we love, there's certain albums that will forever be on our rotations and we'll always listen to it. They'll have like a time capsule aspect to it. Like example, that Mad Villainy will always have a time capsule aspect to me of growing up, like our own friendship early on. And then also like other things that have happened. So it's like three tiers of an album because it's been, you know, it was released in 05, but I can still listen to it to this day, full gas, and enjoy and create new memories out of it even. So it's really cool. And this I do like ASAP Rocky. This is cool to go back onto it and to see that he's definitely a talented artist. And I think Acid Drip was kind of cool, because it's funny, I thought the same thing when I listened to it. I was like, wow, this would fit perfectly in today's modern indie rap, basically.
Yeah. So it's a classic of sorts. There's a lot of value of sorts. And I think that's perfectly fine for ASAP Rocky to have here. And 10 years on, it's definitely not like, there's a lot worse positions to be in. It's not like, oh, damn, ASAP Rocky, he really fell off. Or it's actually better now. It's actually not. ASAP Rocky, he started from a really strong position and only kind of went up from there and has continued to do so. You'll be back ASAP still rocks. Arbitrary Scale. Alternative names for Facebook, as we do Arbitrary Scales all the time. This is, what are you gonna give this?
This is Chain Happy. Like, okay, you know, over there, you're so lost in the sauce, right? You don't understand because you're a robot or an alien or some shit. I don't know. And you don't know how to talk to people. You don't even know if you are a human being anymore at this point. So you're like, chain happy. That's what I'm changing it to, because everybody's chained happy together. And you're like, I got to say yes or else I'm fired.
We are blockchain happy. It could easily be that. I'm when you're talking about, you know, like soulless humans who are like barely even, you know, like just completely devoid of relationship to their empathy and things like that. Of course, I was immediately thinking of Succession, and so I'm gonna give this the vault. I'm gonna give this the Vaulter, the fake company from it's a real company, but like a, you know, fake. It's a company that's fictitious in the show Succession that plays a plot line in the first two seasons. But that's great. It's a news website essentially. Mm-hmm. Oh, how the cookie crumbles. Anyways, we are doing quick hits. We're just doing a regular classic quick hits because what's No Chill Island? I don't know what that is. I don't know. Never happened. But speaking of No Chill, a 79-year-old man shot his son for playing the guitar too long. Hey, Tom, shut the fuck up.
Hey, watch your language. Tom, shut the fuck up. So apparently, Fred Hensley Sr. Insisted that he's aiming for the guitar, but ended up shooting Fred Hensley Jr. in the stomach, who is 50 years old, by the way, because damn. Like, that's the way you got to say, hey, can you, like, quiet up there? You've been playing a little too long. He just goes up there and just grabs his... What do you think he's packing? What do you think he's shooting him with here? Like, is he a modern, like, old Ohio man? Like, is he got Tech 9 in his hand? Or has he got, like, a Magnum 357? Like, is it just the guitar don't exist anymore? Or is there, like, just little pepper holes in it? What we got here?
Court papers reveal that the elder Hensley told cops that he fired his .380 pistol toward the guitar because his son wouldn't stop rocking for over an hour.
There you go. You got a stub nose in that bitch.
So, like, I... Audio Face is a show about morals. Fellas, use your words. We can communicate. Right. We can talk to... Listen, I have been known for speaking on podcasts from time to time about my strained relationship with my father. That being said, we use words and communicate these things outwardly, and it's definitely better than the idea where the only way to communicate, please play that guitar somewhere else, or this is really bothering me, please stop, between two adult men who are, you know, up there in years and have hopefully enough adulthood to be able to, you know, put the pay things beside them. I encourage all the men out there listening to this podcast to just be in touch with their inner feelings enough. It is not gay to use your words instead of shooting your son in the stomach. Boosie Collins may disagree with this. However, You can keep chasing girls and not shoot your son in the stomach. Yeah, this is wild. Okay, so also for what it's worth, apparently while police were on the way, the son attacked the father despite being like wounded with a gunshot. And so he's in decent enough condition to, you know, be shot in the stomach and not be killed from it. But non-life-threatening wound, but what a way to ruin a nice Saturday afternoon, right? Just not necessary.
Yep. And you know, we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. This is one of the best notes. The bestest of funnest of notes. So Lil Yachty is keen troll right now, because he sent a screenshot on Instagram of him trolling the shit out of Drake. And it is beautiful.
So, context, on an alleged previous segment of the show called No Chill Island that Sean and I may or may not have done in parody in Minecraft, we talked about how Drake's role in Degrassi, his character was the survivor of a school shooting, but he was paralyzed from like the waist down, and so his character was in a wheelchair. And apparently Drake sent his had his legal team send a letter to the producers and directors at Nickelodeon or whatever, or the production company for Degrassi, apparently, to let them know, hey, Drake doesn't like this way his character is being portrayed, so please change it, like make it different or some way. Just like asking his legal team to push the writers to change the character for him. Because, you know, Drake apparently was worried about being perceived as soft as he was getting his rap career going. Let alone all you need to do is just listen to one of Drake's songs and that'll do the job itself. You don't even need Degrassi, because I, full disclosure, did not watch Degrassi at all or that much, honestly. So, like, it was never something that culturally hit with me. Drake and all of my opinions of Drake come from him as a musician and as a celebrity directly surrounding that musician nature. And so, in that, we get this wonderful screen capture that I have on here where... this is all it is, this interaction between Lil Yachty and Drake.
Oh, man.
Lil Yachty says, one message, I'm not gonna lie, bro. Second message, seeing you smile. Third message, in a wheelchair. Fourth message, is some funny shit. Delivered. Left on red. Just no response. Drake didn't send shit back. It's just like, all right, whatever.
Beautiful.
Guess who's not getting that? Guess who's not getting featured on the Certified Lover Boy Deluxe?
Who's not hopping on that Way Too Sexy remix?
Yoink! Go knocking on Kanye's door then, bitch. and again, because we're at this point in audio phase, we have to be clear. We even said this in that episode, too, that like this would have been an opportunity for Drake to actually stand up for people with disabilities and, you know, just like own the role and make it into something where like it like I usually still have like a tough masculine persona and do all these things. But that's not going to be what Drake does, because Drake's a nominated nodal little bitch.
multiple time nominated No Little Bitch like 3 times this year as I'm going through everything right now.
Yeah, and like multiple years in a row. We might have to
we just need to have term limits here.
Term limits is a far better phrase than the term handicap, which is what I was about to say. But I was going to say, we do need some sort of rule where like a I also don't want to use trigger because of the Degrassi character either.
Oh, man, this isn't No Chill Island. Jesus.
But this is... I'm just saying. All I'm saying is, at a certain point of nominations, you just get the award. You're trying too hard.
Exactly. It's like... it's basically you get 2 yellow cards, you get a red card. You know, like...
Because an audio face, like, are we as judges fixing it? If he's nominated this often, like, are we snubbing Drake for the Noted Little Bitch if he continually works this hard to get nominated and never gets it?
I mean, guys, like, push. He's trying to, like, he's pushing nomination because he wants to get on that award, because, you know, it's the most prestigious award on our show by far. Like, who gives a fuck about best music, best rap album of the year? No, it's only about the Noted Little Bitch award.
Listen,
that's what matters.
This is the back end of episode 209. This is where we can actually be really truthful with the audience. We don't rate our album, so obviously no one cares about how we rate them at the end of the year. It's the Noted Little Bitch Award. That's what we're really doing it all about. Yes. I'm 75% kidding about that, but I will say that's the most fun award to put together every single year.
100%. We're literally gonna have we're gonna have like
brackets. A CVS receipts worth
of it, because we did a lot this year.
Oh boy, yeah, we did.
I am fine tooth combing everything to try and get it, literally writing everything down because I'm old school and pen and paper works. I'm really looking at this own little bitch. I'm like, I'm in May and I already have like 15 people. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, Jesus.
Getting a little Again, we're gonna have to manage this somehow. Maybe we do like a
I want like knockout, like
that's an A league, that's a B league.
Exactly. I want you to get relegated to the leagues, you know, like English Premier League, you know, you get like second league, you know, you get Bundesliga 2 and Bundesliga 3. Like I want that tier systems.
Sorry, I've after a wonderful go at it for the we also got to say this is the Daystar Peterson note a little bitch award. But after a wonderful go at it, we're going to have to send you down to the development league. We can't do it.
We got to send you over to the Jermaine Cole League over there.
you see J. Cole, DJ Khaled, and Hassan Piker shooting foul shots.
Oh, Christ.
This has been one of my favorite things is this one black Canadian like leftist online who's been trolling Hassan Piker saying, "Yo, Hassan, I heard Dave Rubin broke your ankles in a game of pickup basketball the other year, a couple years ago. Will you come on my podcast to talk about it?" Listen, well played, sir. Well played.
Damn.
I cannot confirm or deny the veracity of these statements. We report, oh, you decide.
You decide, exactly.
This has been Audio Face.
What does it mean to play us out?
You can find Audio Face on social media platforms, actually the following social media platforms, because we don't have TikTok currently. Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod might be the time to make that. I would love to see the day where, like, Sean, so here's the deal. I would like you to manage the Audio Face tick. Not gonna happen ever. But
I draw a line at TikTok because I got everything else. I can't do that one. That might make me quit the internet forever.
You would never have to do any dances. I can't promise you that. Anyways, it would be kind of funny if we did like a parody High Hopes dance. But anyways. Oh,
Jesus. We would get banned off the platform for movements I would do. I already know that.
Yeah, just like homophobia on principle. Anyways, for doing a homophobia on Pete Buttigieg. No, just like any criticism of Pete Buttigieg is homophobia. Oh my God, how did I do this? Dude. This is, I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the web and on Instagram at Dan from the internet. Sean can be found, if we trust you, on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. That was supposed to be short. We will talk to you next week. Cheers.
Bye.